As I said, I thought we'd look this morning at the topic of time, and just a bit of a one-off, just something a little bit different. This morning, I said I would do it with the teenagers in the week, and it was something that I began to think, oh, this would be a good thing to do together, all of us in the church, and so it was something I could adapt a little bit, so it could be a family service, depending on what was happening this morning and who was here. But we need to think, don't we, about time. Sometimes people view time as a great enemy. We often use expressions, don't we? Oh, I'm so short on time. So where does the time go? Time is something that is very elusive, isn't it? In some ways, it's the most precious thing we have, time. Because it's something that is always going as well, isn't it? Time is one of those things that cannot be stockpiled. You can hoard your money, you can hoard food in the cupboard, you can't hoard time. It's gone. And it is something that is going at exactly the same rate for every one of us. All of us have been given 24 hours in a day and 60 minutes in each hour. And where does the time go? And the bizarre thing is that we have such contradictory ways of thinking about time and contradictory ways of using our time. On the one hand, they say that we are a generation that wastes time like none has ever done before. We waste time at such a phenomenal amount. This is something I wanted to do with the children, but you can do it as well if you want. With the young people on Tuesday, I got them to take a piece of paper and divide it up 6 by 4, so you had a block of 24 squares. And I said to the children, right, shade out then how many hours you are asleep for. You've got 24 hours in a day, how many hours are you asleep for? Most children sleep for 8 hours, most adults do as well. Younger children, of course, sleep a bit more than that, and so on. Then mark out how many hours, I said to the children, you're at school. Remember those days when you're only at 6 hours? 6 hours at school? 9 to 3 or something like that, you were at school. Perhaps for us grown-ups, averages 8 hours, of course, for a day's work, and so on. And then think out, what else do you do with your time? Those things are pretty inflexible. You need to spend some time at least asleep, or we regret it. And to say again, our work time is pretty fixed for most of us. We're paid to get there at a certain time, and we leave at a certain time as well. Most people spend, averaging in our country, is an hour travelling a day. And then what else do we do with our time? In some sort of averages, we spend about an hour and a half eating a day, roughly 3 meals, half an hour a time, give or take a bit. Most of us spend about half an hour washing and getting dressed and so on. And then what else? Perhaps for children, they have to do an hour's homework, perhaps they have to do a few jobs and so on. Again, it varies, doesn't it? Perhaps you think, if only. If only, think back to those days when you were a child, and perhaps that was how you spent some of your time. You only had a little bit of homework to do, and you made to do a couple of jobs, but perhaps most of us have a few more to do than that. Well, however it works out, once you block out these bits of time you're at work, time you're asleep, travelling time, you know, the necessary things, then what do you do with the time that's left? At the average, is people spend 2 hours watching television a day in this country. And half an hour on the internet a day. And half an hour on social media a day. It's also estimated people spend at least half an hour a day daydreaming. And probably half an hour looking for things they lost. That's some rough ideas. Those are just rough estimates of how people spend their time. And obviously proportions have to change for each of us. Different amounts of sleep we need, different amounts of our work day. That may be paid employment, that may be working at home, that may be the household chores taking up huge swathes of that. We may have a job that finishes quite neatly when we leave the office. It may be a job that very easily spills over and we have to do much more at home and so on. And we have work to do with the children, helping them with theirs, and all sorts of other things that need doing. You may spend half an hour washing and dressing yourself. Maybe that would be a generous estimate, because actually all the time you have to spend washing and dressing other people in the house as well. And so, it's just a rough estimate for it. But it is interesting to pause every now and again and think, what do I do with my time? Where does it all go? Whether you're thinking about a certain day, think through tomorrow, or when you get to the end of Monday, where did Monday go? What did I do on Monday? Or you could think about it as an average, and so on as well. It's an astonishing thing to think about. And it sometimes is something that helps us to get things into perspective, doesn't it? It's a very famous verse in the Bible. I'll put it up on the screen, but you can look it up if you wish. Psalm 90 and verse 12. Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And that's what we were trying to do a little bit there. We were numbering the hours. But you could expand that onwards, couldn't you, to think about how would we number our days? Of course, there's a little bit of an irony in that because we can't. None of us know how many days we've got. But it's still important for us to think through how we're using our days and how we're using the days that have been given to us so far. And if God gives us a few more at least, how do we want to spend those? It's interesting as you think through some of those things, those ways we spend our time. If you sort of extrapolate them onward through your life, number the days. So if you spend half an hour on Facebook a day, if you do that every day for 70 years, that's a whole year and a half gone. And 2 hours spent in front of the telly, just mindlessly watching whatever it is. If you did that for 70 years, that's a whole 6 years of your life gone. Staring at the box. And so on. You can expand it in those kind of things. And sometimes when you think about that, that does seem strange. Is that what I want to do for 6 years? Watch the telly. Is there anything else I'd like to do with that time? How do we use our time? How do we prioritize those different things? We need to have a heart of wisdom, says the psalm writer. And we need God to do that, to teach us how to number our days. We need God to show us, as we look at these things thoughtfully for ourselves, what do I do with my time? Is that what I want? Is that the best way to spend my time? It's important for us to think. Time is this resource that is going past second by second. And those seconds never come back. And we've no idea how many more of them there are. How do we want to spend them? How do we want to spend those time? I say, people think that today in our generation, we waste time far more than other generations did. And so much of it is a waste. It's not even doing something active with it. People don't actually spend much time actively pursuing a hobby, even doing something with their time. I say most people just want a bit of brain-dead time in front of the television. It's estimated as well that the average person spends 3 minutes being romantic a day. 3 minutes of any sort of romance. As even having a chat, having a meal, having a date, going for a walk arm in arm. 3 minutes a day, people reckon, that's the average for being romantic. How do we use our time? And as we are so aware of time that just goes past so fast, how do we spend it? It's interesting to go back to that one there of our estimates, as well as thinking, where does God fit in that? Where does God fit in our daily plan? All the necessary things we do need to do, sleeping and eating and work and the like. Where does God fit in that time of ours? When do we spend time with Him? Even if you take things out and then of the week and then divide them up among the average day. So if you come to church once and that's the only time you think about God in the week, you could average that out to 10 minutes a day. But that's providing, of course, while you're at church, the only thing you're thinking about is God. Because if you take into account daydreaming time at church, it's going to plummet rather quickly. How much do we think about God in a day? Shocking, really, to think about. The other thing with us in our society is that we're so good at wasting time, but at the same time, we're very aggressive about time. Are you one of those people who sits second in line but at the traffic lights, and the lights go green and the person in front takes more than 4 seconds to move off? You're thinking, come on, move. We get angry with people. People who don't call us when they said they were going to, or they arrive late or something like that. We get angry when there's a delay. We get angry when it snows because that's going to mean the post is late tomorrow. And so on. We get angry about time. Even though we waste it, we're still aggressive about it. At the same time, we're used to things fast. Even more so in our generation. We're used to instant communication. Now go back 50, 100 years and people would send a letter to somebody in their family. And they were happy if they got a reply the following month. Now we send text message after text message, and if they don't reply, we bug them again. You've got to reply to my message. We're used to everything like that. Most of us have TV on demand. It's only a few years ago you had to wait for the programme, didn't you? To come up on the 4 or 5 channels that there were. You had to wait because the BBC News was at 6 o'clock and you waited for it to come or whatever. Nowadays you just click it and it's there. You click the programme you want and you watch it when you want. We go to McDonald's, we go for the drive-thru and we want the food now. We all shop on Amazon because there's next day delivery. And we get mighty cross when it's not there. We're very aggressive when it comes to time. Some people perhaps even more so. There's some people who just can't relax. They just can't stop. They might be workaholics. It might be the fact that work is just expanding out of its allotted time into miles more than that. And people just can't relax. They can't turn off. As they have their iPad or whatever it is near them all the time, they're answering emails as soon as they come in. Because they can, they've got to do it, and they're prompting other people to answer emails too. And they're like, rushing around from place to place. Why is it we're so aggressive about our time? Why are we in a hurry so much? Difficult to always know, isn't it? Sometimes it can be agreed. Sometimes it can be, especially with work and things like that. Well, if only I work harder, I'd have more money. Last year I did this many hours a week, and I got paid this much. Well, if I work a bit more, I get paid more. Perhaps it's in terms of things at home. You know, if I worked harder in the home, you know, then it'd be more beautiful. Then I could do this job and that job and do the house like I like. Sometimes we work hard and we use our time in quite an aggressive way because it gives us a sense of importance. We all like to tell each other how busy we are. I'm very busy. Yes, I'm very busy too. We all like to be busy because if we were to admit we weren't busy, then everyone would think we were lazy. And so we've got to be busy to prove we've got something to do that we're important to. Think for a moment about the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, in the Gospels, as they're recorded for us, there's a sense in which you could say the Lord Jesus, perhaps more than anyone, was short on time, in inverted commas. Not that I mean he was rushed around and so on, but he only had 33 years. Some of us had more than that. I think actually all of us almost have had more than that. He only had 33 years, and he was aware of the time much more than we are. He knew his time was short. He knew that the end of his life was approaching. None of us did that, but Jesus knew exactly the end point of his life. And he only had 3 years of ministry. 3 years of ministering, heading towards the cross. He knows it. He knows when it's coming, where it's coming. If anyone would have been aggressive about their time, don't you think it would have been Jesus? think I've only got 3 years to get all of this done. All of the things God needs me to reveal to everyone on planet Earth. All of the things I've got to do as the Son of God. I've only got 3 years of ministry. And yet, that isn't the way you come across Jesus, is it? He knows his time. He knows what's happening. But Jesus, we're told so many times in the Gospels, made time to pray. He wanted to pray. He wanted to pause and talk to his Father. He made time to rest. He wasn't a workaholic. He wasn't thrashing around wildly, doing one thing after another. We read several times about Jesus sitting down to rest. He sat down by the well in Samaria to rest. He went to sleep on a boat. He even did other things. He went to a wedding and so on. You know, he could have said, I'm too busy. No, he did things to rest. Perhaps the most overwhelming one, of course, is that Jesus had time for people. Even when it does come across that he has a plan, that he's going from A to B, and yet he meets people on the way, and he has time for them. Time for people. He never brushed anyone off in the Gospels. You ever read of Jesus saying, no, I'm too busy. Get lost. Come back another time when I've got more time. Isn't it important for us to think about those things? Sometimes we can get so aggressive about our time. So self-important too. And then there's many verses in the Bible that encourage us to do just that. About this one in Psalm 46 verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. An amazing thing that God says, be still and know that I am God. God doesn't boom at us, hurry up, catch up with me, and then you'll know I'm God. But God says, be still. Calm it down. Quieten down. Pause. Be still. And know that I'm God. And we see that in the life of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that the kind of way we need to relate to God? It says in Matthew chapter 11, in very well-known verses, and verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's an important thing for us to recapture, isn't it? Even as Christians. But Jesus said, didn't say, come to me and I will give you busyness. And I'll give you a shed more load of work to do. God didn't say that. Jesus didn't say that. He said he'd give us rest. And that's important for us to rediscover, isn't it? Yes, there are things, we'll come on to that in a moment. There are things that we should do for God, and we should do for the Lord Jesus. And we should use our time. We don't want to waste it. We don't want to be lazy. But we do need to pause. We do need to be still. We do need to have that attitude which we see the Lord Jesus had. He had time to pray. He had time to rest. And he had time for people. It's important for us to think about, isn't it? And yet we can be so often like the disciples. In Mark chapter 6, and this comes after the disciples have been sent out. That's at the beginning of chapter 6. And then in Mark chapter 6, verse 30, we read this verse, which sounds so much like us, really. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they taught. It would be like that. Come into God. Look at all these things I've done. We do it when we talk about each other. I've been so busy. I've done this, and that this week. And all the apostles came back to Jesus after he'd sent them out and told them all the things they'd done. Look what we've done for you. We did this, and we went there and did this and the other. And how does Jesus reply? He said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were so many coming and going, they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. God wants us to pause, to spend time with him. Someone said Christians are quite like trains. They're always in a rush and always late. How can that be? Well, we can be like that. Always rushing, always late. But sometimes we need to pause. Sometimes we can be so busy, even busy doing things for God, or so we say, that we need to pause and rest. Rest for a while. And so it's important for us to think about, isn't it? Where does God think fit in our schedule, even in our daily schedule? Where does God fit? Do we try and make sure that we do set aside time to be still and think about God? Do we set apart time, like the Lord Jesus obviously did, to pray? And perhaps when we think about the busyness of time and the preciousness of time, it helps us to appreciate too the Lord's day. A day of rest. Isn't that a wonderful thing that in amongst those normal things of a normal day, well then what should a Sunday look like? And when we think about how busy we are and how much needs doing and how that the other 6 days get filled up with stuff, what a wonderful gift God gave us when he gave the Sabbath. A day of rest. And how many of those things up there that fill out the average day from Monday to Saturday can we put a line through? And so today it's Sunday. Today it's the Lord's Day. So let's not bother with this. All these things that fill out and clutter our time so that very frequently we don't have much time to rest and don't have much time to think about God. Well, how many of them can we eliminate on a Sunday? Not all of them. Yeah, we're still going to have to eat. We still may need to travel to and from church at least. We still may have to, we've got to cook and so on. We may have to get our children dressed. You know, all of these things, there's still going to be some things, of course, on that schedule for the day. But how many things can we put a line through? And God's given us a gift of a day of rest. Why are we so daft we think we can do without it? And why sometimes are we perhaps so disorganized that we let all the other stuff crowd in on the Sunday too? How many of those other things could be left? Left to one side for a day of rest, a day to be still and know that I am God. A day to leave all the other things, as much of the housework as we can manage. Maybe encouraging our children to get their homework all sorted on a Saturday, ready for Monday. And all the optional things, the TV and the social media and the like. Those things we can just leave. We don't need that today. A day to be still and know that I am God. A day to use as best we can. Yeah, maybe other constraints, especially if you've got other people living with you in the house, needs that they have. And so on too, but to spend that day of rest. One of the things that's come across, perhaps as we've been looking through the first couple of books of the Bible in our Thursday night meetings, the number of times the Sabbath mentioned. Such a big thing in their in those first 5 books. It was a gift that they were given. A gift that's still there for us as God's people in the New Testament too. So how should we use our time? Just a couple of things to draw together. 3 things that begin with P, funnily enough. The first thing we need to do is prioritise, isn't it? Prioritise. There are so many things that could be done. It's important for us to think about what's the most important, isn't it? The true story goes of a big steel production company in America, and they hired in a consultant And the manager said to this consultant, he says, show me how I can get more done with my time. And I'll pay you. I'll pay you loads if you can show me how to be more productive with my time. And the consultant said, what you need to do at the end of each day is write down what you would like to do on the following day. And then number them in the order of priority. And then when you come to work the next day, set off with that first task and keep on it until it's done, then move on to the next task and so on. And then make sure everyone else in the company is doing exactly the same thing. And he wrote at the end of his letter of what he was suggesting, and you can pay me whatever you think this is worth. And his company grew massively, did become a very productive company. And so later on he sent him a gift for $500,000 for his advice that he'd written down on a piece of paper. But is it for us, isn't it? We need to prioritise what we need to do. And so often we are those who just waste time. You know, you walk down into the kitchen, there's the phone on the side, you pick up the phone, you flick. We just do it. But actually, we should walk down into the room and say, what was I coming down here to do? What was I meant to do for a moment? And all sorts of things we need to prioritise, don't we? And of course, the Lord Jesus has things to tell us on that, doesn't he? Here in Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said this, but seek first the kingdom of God. Prioritise. What matters most? What is the number one thing you need to do? And Jesus said it's to seek first the kingdom of God. We were reading in Ecclesiastes, weren't we, about all these things that there is time for. And it moved on after that very famous poem to talk in the next couple of verses about the work that we have to do and this task that that occupies us. And it says here, God has put eternity in their hearts. It says this, whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear him. That which has already been, and what is to be has already been, and God requires an account of what is past. It's important for us to consider, isn't it, what matters most. Teach us to number our days. Even if we live to the age of 70, or maybe more, then what? God requires an account of everything that's past. One day we'll stand before God and answer for those hours and minutes and days and years that he gave us. And what have we done with them? We're told to prioritise. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Is that our consideration? Jesus also said, didn't he? What gains it a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So of all those things we could spend our time with, you could spend massive amounts of time on your work and become the richest, most successful person in your profession or whatever it might be. You could spend as much of your time as you wished and you could on holidays and hobbies and sports and days out and whatever it might be. You could be entertained constantly. You could have ticked off everything on your bucket list, all the places you want to see, all the things you want to do in your life. But what gains it a man? Even if he does all of those things he ever dreamed of and then loses his soul. Whatever it is, seek first the kingdom of God. That's what we're told, isn't it? Because time is a fixed amount. We've no idea how much that is. But in the end, it will run out. And our time will come to an end. And if we've used this time God gave us on all these other things, but never sought his kingdom, never made sure we were right with him, then it will be too late, won't it? We need to prioritise. We need to know what is most important for us what matters more? The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things shall be added to you. All these other things, they need to be put in their right place, don't they? There too, yes, they're necessary things, maybe. But in the right place too. So we need to prioritise. Secondly, we need to plan. It says this in Ephesians chapter 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, it's got in our New King James. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We need to plan. We need to be those who walk carefully. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Redeeming is a funny word to use there, isn't it? Because, of course, redeeming in the Bible is all about setting free. We're redeemed from slavery. We're redeemed from being slaves of Satan and the like. We're redeemed by the Lord Jesus. We're bought back. We're freed. And we're told to redeem the time. Free our time from all these other things that just encroach upon it and swamp it. And through our time wasting and through the ever-exploding amount of work we want to do and through all these hobbies and things we want to enjoy. And God says, free the time. Redeem it. Buy it back from all these other things that would just steal it away. Take it back. It's quite a sort of strong language to it, isn't it? Take back that time. Redeem it. And it links back to those verses we were reading in Psalms before, to number our days so that we might have a heart of wisdom. Using the same idea here. Because that's what a fool does. A fool just wastes time, has no idea where it's gone. He's just going from one thing to another. But we need to walk carefully. We need to plan. We need to redeem the time. Because the days are evil. Because we're living in a sinful world. Because we are still sinful. Because time is short. Because time is running to an end. Redeem the time. Plan. What do you want to do with it? How do we want to use our time? If it was an ideal world, as it were, you could do that. Take those 24 hours and say, ideally, what would I do with these 24 hours? How would I like to spend them? Put in the necessary things. Put in the things you need to do. You need to work. You need to cook and clean. You know, put in the things that need doing. And then even with the free time, the chunk that's left, what I want to do with it. How do I want to redeem this time? Yeah, you might choose to spend a minute watching the telly. You might want to send a few emails to some friend, you know. They're not saying those things are wrong. But you need to choose, you need to prioritise, we need to plan what we do with our time. And lastly, we need to have a purpose. We need to have a purpose to what we're doing. What is our aim? Or perhaps we should pause and think, well, what's God's aim? What is God's purpose for us? Those of us who are his people. Those who have sought first his kingdom. Those who have made sure, first of all, it's right with our souls, that we're not going to lose our souls after gaining whatever else. What does God want? What is God's purpose for us? And it's not primarily to be super busy. Sometimes we can think like that as Christians. Well, God wants me to do this and that and that and add more and more things to an already busy schedule. What is God's purpose for us? Well, it says this in Ephesians chapter 4. There's lots of places you could turn. But here's just one, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Why don't we go back to 13? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ. What's God's purpose? But to make us mature in Christ, isn't it? So there, till we come, till we finally come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what God is aiming for us. That we become more and more like the Lord Jesus. That we grow in our knowledge of him. That we'd grow in our love and unity that comes through the faith. That we would somehow attain to that stature. We'd grow. Our children are always excited about growing, aren't they? They want to be taller. They want to get to the next milestone so they can do something. So they can not be on the booster seat in the car. Whatever it is, they want the next thing. They want to grow in stature. Well, here we're told that we should want to grow in stature too. To the fullness of Christ. We should be just as eager to grow up as Christians. To grow, to become more like Jesus. Growing up in all things to him who is the head, Christ. That's God's purpose for us. That one day we'd be complete in Christ. That one day we'd be ready for glory. Ready to meet the Lord Jesus. And through our lives to make us bit by bit more like him. Finally to be completed. When we're made completely like him and we see him face to face in glory, but still along the way, with the ups and downs of the Christian life, we've been made more like the Lord Jesus. Now there are things we need to do. We shouldn't take those verses to be still and that my yoke is easy and so on. We shouldn't take those verses to mean, oh, no, all God wants me to do is sit in my armchair and think. Think thoughts. Think all sorts of things about him and whatever else comes to mind, perhaps. I know there are things he wants us to do. There's plenty of obvious commands, aren't there, in God's word of what he wants to do. But through those things, as we obey him, as we actively serve him, his plan for us is not to make us completely swamped and overwhelmed. His purpose for us is to make us mature in Christ. And so even as Christians, we need to prioritise. We need to make sure that we're not so overwhelmed doing all these things for God, or so we say, that we're not actually thinking about him. We need to make sure that we're choosing those things wisely, even as Christians. What are those things that God is calling us to be involved in? What are those commands that we haven't obeyed, really, and we do need to do? And so on. But making sure we have that purpose in mind through it all. Not that we want to be so overwhelmingly swamped that everyone would know what a good Christian we are. That's rubbish. Are we wanting to serve him? Yes, we're wanting to be busy in serving the Lord. With that purpose in mind and that prayer in mind that he'd be making us more like the Lord Jesus. And coming back to where we began, thinking of the Lord Jesus in those Gospels. Isn't the way he spent even those 3 years of ministry the most beautiful thing? To read those biographies, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, of the Lord Jesus and have his life described there for us. Isn't his life a thing of beauty? The way he spent his time? And so shouldn't it be our desire to be more like the Lord Jesus? To use our time wisely? To prioritise what matters, to make sure that we're serving the Lord, as Jesus himself would say, my Father's at work, I'm at work. To make sure we rest, to make sure we think of him, to make sure we have time for people, time for interruptions, time for things going wrong, time to be with God. How do we use our time? Heaven has given you some things to think about and help us in our priorities in the week and the weeks ahead. What is it we want to pursue with our lives? Seeking to be those who are using the time wisely. Let's close and sing together our last hymn. Number 402, it should be in the hymn books. 402 in the hymn books. Restore, O Lord, the honour of your name. In works of sovereign power, come shake the earth again. Let's stand and sing.